When making an official but untrue report against a colleague, it's naive to assume that the report will only be seen by one person. The consequences of circulating false allegations can be severe when assessing damages. In this particular case, the employee sent the emails only to the CEO, but he should have known that senior members of the company would also likely have read them. Whistleblowers play a vital role in exposing corruption within organizations. Still, there's a fine line between legitimate disclosure and damaging accusations, as a recent Singapore case demonstrates. In 2022, the High Court ordered a man who blew the whistle on his company's executive director to pay $50,000 in defamation compensation. This case is a reminder that whistleblowing doesn't give individuals a free pass to tarnish colleagues they dislike. In this real-life corporate drama, the story began in 2011 when an employee sent two emails to his CEO, alleging that the director conspired with another senior employee to defraud their logistics company for over $2 million. The whistleblower claimed to have witnessed the corrupt acts, including inflating company invoices by up to 30% and detecting cash transactions. The allegations triggered an internal investigation involving the company's audit committee and board of directors. However, no action was taken due to a lack of concrete evidence. The director, who later left the company, remained unaware of who had actually exposed him. 6 years later, in 2017, printed copies of the accusatory emails were mysteriously left in the director's old apartment's letterbox. By sheer chance, he returned to check on a water pipe leak, which led to the discovery of these documents. The director was shocked to learn that the whistleblower was one of his subordinates. The employee had accused him of various crimes, including cheating, criminal breach of trust, and multiple instances of corruption. In response, the director's lawyers demanded an apology, a retraction of the allegations, as well as compensation for the harm to his reputation and emotional distress. When the employee refused, the director took legal action and emerged victorious in court. The court made several crucial observations relevant to whistleblowing cases. Number one, the discovery of the allegations. In legal terms, there's a time frame within which someone can file a lawsuit if they believe they've been wronged. The whistleblower sent the initial email in 2011, and a typical 6-year deadline would have expired by 2017. However, these tip-offs are often confidential, making it difficult for aggrieved parties to know who actually made the allegations. A 3-year deadline applies to discovering the whistleblower's identity in such cases. The court noted that the director's account of discovering the whistleblower's identity was reasonable, given the sensitive handling of such tip-offs. The court concluded that the 2019 lawsuit was within the 3-year deadline, which began only with the discovery of the printed emails in 2017. Number two, whistleblowing motives, malice versus good faith. The law protects informants, allowing employees to come forward with information on wrongdoing, even if some allegations may not be entirely accurate. Proving white-collar crime can be a challenge without a thorough investigation of financial records. However, this protection doesn't extend to whistleblowers motivated by malice. In this particular case, the director recalled an incident from 2011 when he had reprimanded that particular employee for allowing one of the company's barges to be overloaded. This incident could have motivated the accusatory emails to shift the blame away from the employee, who clearly had a personal grudge against the director. The judge found it implausible that the employee could have personally witnessed the director's alleged wrongdoings. He couldn't even access the accounts department, yet claimed to have seen invoice alterations and financial discrepancies. The court concluded that the employee had indeed fabricated allegations maliciously and not based on genuine observations. Number three, circulation of false allegations. When making an official but untrue report against a colleague, it's naive to assume that the report will only be seen by one person. The consequences of circulating false allegations can be severe when assessing damages. In this particular case, the employee sent the emails only to the CEO, but he should have known that senior members of the company would also likely have read them. The judge noted that the employee intended to ensure his complaint reached the board of directors. The employee argued that the director's resignation was voluntary and not due to the accusatory emails. Despite this, the court awarded $50,000 in compensation to the director, acknowledging the distress and harm caused by the false allegations. The compensation aimed to repair the director's reputation and vindicate his innocence. So remember, this case is a cautionary tale for whistleblowers, emphasizing the importance of genuine good faith reporting. Whistleblowing is a crucial tool to expose corruption, but it should not be weaponized for personal vendettas. So, now you know. If you found this helpful, follow and subscribe to our channel for more legal things.